Welcome to Open Spaces from Wyoming Public Radio News. I'm Aaron Schrank. Today we have a special program. A panel of experts join me to discuss the Common Core state standards for education in Wyoming. We'll be joined by Jane Wingate, a Cheyenne math teacher.
We have to create thinkers. We have to create thinkers that are going to be competitive in our global world.
Amy Edmonds of the Wyoming Liberty Group.
The federal government involvement in education has not helped the public education system.
We'll also hear from Mark Stock, former Laramie County School District 1 superintendent, and Kathy Vetter of the Wyoming Education Association. And now, recorded before a live audience at the University of Wyoming, a special edition of Open Spaces, Getting to the Core of Common Core. Good evening and welcome to tonight's panel forum on the Common Core state standards for education and their implementation here in Wyoming. I'm Aaron Schrank, education reporter for Wyoming Public Media. Tonight's program, Getting to the Core of Common Core, is a co-production of Wyoming Public Media and Wyoming PBS. It's part of American Graduate, Let's Make It Happen, a public media initiative to address the dropout crisis, supported by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Now, the goal for the next hour is to dig into the new set of standards for English language arts and mathematics currently being rolled out in schools across Wyoming and around the country. Wyoming adopted the Common Core state standards in 2012. More than 40 other states have also adopted them. This academic year is the first where students will be tested based on the new standards. In the time since Wyoming adopted the standards, they've become increasingly controversial, with opposition to Common Core coming from across the political spectrum. I should note that three of my guests here tonight identify themselves as supporters of the Common Core state standards. One identifies herself as opposing the standards. Tonight's forum is not a debate, but a conversation. The goal is to discuss what these standards are, to examine some of the concerns surrounding them, as well as some of the misconceptions, and to get some insight into the challenges associated with putting those standards in place in our Wyoming schools. With that said, let me introduce the panelists this evening, starting here with Kathy Vetter. Kathy is president of the Wyoming Education Association, a professional organization for educators with around 6,000 members. She's held that position since 2012. She's also had 30 years teaching experience in Wheatland, Wyoming. 24 of those years were spent in special education, and the final six as an instructional facilitator at Wheatland High School. Kathy, thanks for being here. Next, we have Dr. Mark Stock. Mark is an assistant professor of educational leadership here at the College of Education here at the University of Wyoming. Before taking the job here, he was superintendent at Laramie County School District 1, the largest district in the state. The district was also among the first to begin working with the new Common Core standards. Mark, thank you for participating.
Thank you.
Next, Amy Edmonds is a policy analyst with Wyoming Liberty Group, a free market think tank. She served for 6 years in the Wyoming legislature as a Republican representing Laramie County. She also previously worked as the executive director of the Wyoming Association of Public Charter Schools. Amy, thanks. Lastly, please welcome Jane Wingate. Jane is a math teacher at Cheyenne South High School, within Laramie County School District 1. She's a National Board Certified Teacher and the recipient of the Presidential Award for Excellence in Mathematics and Science Teaching. Jane was on the Standards Review Committee that adopted the Common Core state standards in Wyoming, and she has worked as a statewide trainer assisting teachers across Wyoming with implementation of the Common Core standards. Jane, thanks. First, let's talk about what the standards are and how they were formed. As I've mentioned, the Common Core standards are math and English benchmarks describing what students should know after completing each grade. They were developed by a group of educators from around the country. That group was convened by the National Governors Association. That's a bipartisan organization of the country's governors. And the initiative was also sponsored by the Council of Chief State School Officers, which is an organization made up of education officials. They were released in 2010 for individual states to adopt. The idea behind Common Core is to create a new, more rigorous set of standards that's consistent across the states with the goal of better preparing students for college and careers. Now, you've all been a part of implementation or of the conversation about the Common Core state standards since the beginning. I want to ask, when the standards were first introduced, how were they received here in Wyoming? Has there been a shift in attitude since? And I'll start with Jane Wingate, who was on the committee to adopt the standards in Wyoming. Jane, what was the initial response?
The process for adopting the Common Core in Wyoming began in early 2010 when a group of educators, parents, stakeholders from across the state were gathered together in Casper, Wyoming in May to revise the Wyoming state standards. And at the time, the Common Core had been released and it was out there, But by no means did we go into that meeting with the intention of adopting the Common Core. Over the process of the time that we spent together, as we looked at the Wyoming State Standards and reviewed, talked about different options and reviewed the Common Core, we very quickly came to the decision that was the direction we wanted to go. We had wonderful conversation, wonderful debate, really pulled the standards apart and looked at what they meant and what we thought about them for Wyoming and how they met with the current Wyoming state standards, what changes it would implement. And we all felt fairly very, very positive about moving in that direction. We met again that October to continue to revise our proposal. And we're on our way towards what we thought was easy adoption by the state of Wyoming. I know at that point we went back to Laramie County School District 1. We're excited and anxious for what we really believe was the right thing to do for our students, for your children. And started moving forward with a very proactive plan, looking at how we could implement and make it be a very positive. So it started very, very positive and very strong.
Great. Amy Edmonds of the Wyoming Liberty Group, how would you characterize the initial response to the Common Core State Standards Initiative? And briefly, how have things changed as people have become more familiar with Common Core?
Well, I think the original, as she's spoken to, the original process was a very, it wasn't as broad. It was much more insular. I was in the legislature in 2010, and I can assure you that I had absolutely no idea that the state was looking at new standards or reviewing standards. And across the board, I think all of my colleagues would say the same thing. Not because it was a secret, because it simply wasn't on the radar. And the way that Wyoming sets standards is a very interesting process, one that I have called, and we have at the Wyoming Liberty Group have called broken. It is a broken process that doesn't really work because it's an odd mixture. In 2010, the state board receives a set of standards that the review committees have gone through. They then have to actually vote to adopt those standards to look at, and then they spend two more years. So there's two votes. There was a vote in 2010 and a vote in 2012. It was that second vote in 2012 where I became aware through constituent correspondence that there was this set of standards and there was a controversy around the standards. So actually, in some of the state board minutes, myself and Representative Bob Brechtel showed up at one of the state board meetings and urged the state board to spend more time going out to the public and letting folks know. Because quite frankly, parents just did not know. And now, having done the work that I've done since then, talking to parents all over the state, they didn't know. When you look at the process by which the Wyoming Department of Education tried to inform communities by sending out a superintendent's memo to the superintendents, and they did send a press release, but when you go pull the papers in our communities, they didn't run the press release. Local newspapers did not put the meetings in the paper, so parents just had no idea. And I hear that again and again.
There's certainly some misconceptions about what the Common Core state standards are and what they do. We hope to clear up some of those tonight as best we can. One thing some people don't understand that seems important is the difference between standards and curriculum. Kathy Vetter of the Wyoming Education Association, can you explain the difference between the two?
Certainly, thank you. We look at Common Core or any set of standards as what knowledge our students need to master at each grade level in each subject area. Common Core just looks at those two subject areas, but we have standards in every subject area. Those are set by the state. That's the minimum knowledge our students need to have at each grade level. Then at the local school district level, we set the curriculum. And think of that as the roadmap that school district has chosen in order for their students to meet that set of standards. So you've got your school district setting that roadmap. These are the steps we're going to take at each grade level in order to ensure that our students meet those standards. And then it goes down to the building level and the classroom teacher level where we choose our materials and we set our lesson plans on how we are going to go about following the roadmap that was set by our school district.
Mark Stock, anything to add to help people understand what standards are compared to curriculum and maybe why that distinction is important?
Well, I think it's very important. And one of the reasons is most of the criticisms that have come to my desk as superintendent of schools have not involved the standards. Most of them are involving the materials or the lessons that are being used. So let's look at an industry. All industries of inequality have standards. Whether we're looking at the construction industry, there's broad standards. Yet, if you were to build a home in Florida, in Maine, in Yuma, Arizona, Arizona, you're going to find the same sets of standards perhaps used, but very radically different houses. So why is that? Well, local control. So using Kathy's analogy, if you have the standards that are laid out, then you have the curriculum, which you use the term roadmap. I would say in a construction analogy, it's the blueprint. It's the design for how we're going to deliver the standard. Well, then once you have the design, you have to go out and purchase materials. You have to have wood or steel or whatever you're going to use. And you go out and find those materials, and all across America, school districts yearly go out and look for materials so they can implement the design of the curriculum. Then, of course, you've got the activities and the lesson plans that the teachers actually do, which is kind of similar to a construction manager who's organizing who's going to do the electrical first, and then we're going to do the plumbing, etc. But I guess I want to point out that all of the criticisms that have come to my desk have involved a lesson plan or a textbook or a piece of material with something that was brought in that there's a complaint about. And in reality, that's a local decision. That's not the problem with the standard. That was a problem with whatever someone chose to use. And there's appeal processes in most districts for protesting something that they believe to be out of line. So that would be my analogy to explain the difference between those.
Got it. Kathy Vetter, any other misconceptions about Common Core and where it came from that you see worth noting?
I think the biggest misconception is standards, curriculum, who sets which, and also the fact that we've had standards forever. This isn't something new. My 30 years of teaching, every year there were standards. And so the misconception that this is a brand new idea that we're going to set standards for students is a misconception.
Certainly. I guess one thing that possibly could be a misconception that some bring up is the federalization issue, the idea of whether this is coming from the states or the feds. I guess, Mark Stock, anything to say in that regard?
Well, that's clearly the controversy, is how much involvement should there be? Ironically enough, most of the countries that are quoted as doing better than us in all the assessments, almost all of them have some form of not just national standards. They'll have national curriculum, and some have national materials. That would never fly in America with our emphasis. But I personally, from my point of view, do not see a problem with national standards. I might have a problem with a national curriculum. I think the locals ought to be able to decide how best to teach reading comprehension with which book, which set of materials. So, that is the issue, Aaron, is the whole idea of federalization versus local control and how much is which. And unfortunately, even for superintendents, those decisions are largely above our pay grade. I mean, those are political issues that are country-based and nationally-based.
So it's important to note that while the standards were not developed by the Department of Education, the federal government has certainly encouraged the use of the standards. Amy, I wonder if you could speak to that and tell me how the federal government has incentivized states to adopt Common Core.
Absolutely. Basically from the American Competes Act from 2007 all the way to the ARRA, which is the stimulus dollars to race to the top, the federal government under President Bush and under President Obama have set one of the reform efforts. So if you look at all of the federal dollars that Governor Friedenthal signed, the documents with state promises, Wyoming promised to increase our college and career readiness standards, basically create standards that were college and career ready. That was going on way back in 2009. Wyoming was making promises that we were going to increase or create college and career ready standards. Now, this was a new concept for states because college and career ready standards was not something we understood as a state. States didn't have that. The federal government has now defined what college and career ready is, both under the ESEA waiver, under Race to the Top, under the state fiscal stabilization funds, the ARRA dollars that we accepted $67 million of back in 2010. And what that is essentially two things. We either can adopt a set of standards that have been adopted by a preponderance of states, that is the Common Core, or we can go to this institution, the University of Wyoming, and our community colleges and create a set of standards that the University of Wyoming and the community college certify will allow that students will not be remediated should they complete these standards.
College career ready standards.
That's the definition. So that's those are the choices that states were faced with all the way back in 2010. This is why Governor Friedenthal and Superintendent McBride were very quick to look at the Common Core and say, hey, let's do it. Because it is very politically unpopular to come to this campus and to go to our community colleges and ask them to certify and stamp off and say these are a great set of standards, and we will not remediate your students should they study under these standards.
Let's talk about what these standards actually look like on paper. Jane, can you provide an example of a standard just to show people exactly what we're talking about here?
Absolutely. I promise I won't give you a test on it when we're done. So an example of a standard, and there's many, but so I'm just going to read one here that jumped out at me. It's under the interpreting functions subcategory, and it says, calculate and interpret average rate of change of a function presented symbolically or as a table over a specified interval. Estimate the rate of change from a graph.
Amy, I think you also brought some examples with you as well. Any particular standard you can share with us just to show the breadth of what we're talking about, or perhaps a standard you find problematic?
Well, Aaron, I think what you and I talked about on the phone and what I have discussed and talked a lot about is that there's a lot of concern. If you go look at old standards, and if you study the standards reform movement and you look at standards that states like Wyoming and all the other states have had in the past versus the Common Core, what you see is the Common Core is very different. If you compare our old 2008 standards to these standards, they're very different. And there is pedagogy in these standards that we did not see in the old standards. So just to give you an example, operations and algebraic thinking. So use multiplication and division within 100 to solve word problems in situations involving equal groups, arrays, and measurement quantities by using drawings and equations with symbols for the unknown number to represent the problem. There is then a footnote. In the footnote, you're going to go to the glossary to table two, and in table two, you're actually going to get word problems to help you basically create word problems. We've had people like Dr. James Milgram, who's a Stanford math professor, who's gone through, he was hired by the state of Indiana to actually walk through all the math standards. He was hired as an expert to just walk through them and give them an idea of what's good, what's bad. Throughout those documents, you will see him constantly saying, this is not a standard, this is pedagogy. This should be removed if you are looking for just standards. I think these are the things that trouble folks, that these are not just standards.
Sure. My next question is for Jane. Broadly, and this kind of follows up on that, how would you explain the shift going on here in terms of what we're asking, how we're asking students to think and to learn? I've heard some supporters, particularly of the Common Core, describe the standards as sort of shifting away from rote memorization and towards conceptual thinking. I guess, is this accurate, or how would you describe the shift broadly, at least as a math teacher?
Absolutely. What I was originally drawn to on the standards of the Common Core standards for mathematics was that there's two equal sets of standards. There's the content standards, which I read from. They're very dry. You can just read through them. And then there's the standards for math practice. The standards for math practice are 8 standards that describe the levels of expertise that a student would have to should have to think as a mathematician, to be able to have critical thinking. And I agree with what Amy said to a point that there is some pedagogy implied, but definitely not dictated. What it implies is that we want our children to understand what they're learning. So we want them to walk out of class understanding so they can apply it in the world around them. Because I don't know about you guys, but it's not very often when I'm walking down the street and somebody asks me to factor a polynomial. I keep waiting because I'm so ready for it to happen. I'm there, but it just hasn't happened. And as a math teacher, I face my students every day, and I look at them when they ask me in seriousness, when am I going to use this? And I have to smile and pretend not to lie and come up with things. But the reality is, if they're learning beyond factoring a polynomial, and they understand why. Why do you do it? In what situations do you do it? How can I take a problem that looks a little different, and how can I make it apply to this? And that's what the standards of math practice are encouraging us to produce thinkers, not just people that do rote math skills, because that's why we all make mistakes. That's why we forget a formula. That's why we put a plus sign instead of a minus sign, because it doesn't mean anything. So is conceptual understanding the only way to go? Absolutely not. It's a balance. And the word you'll hear me say over and over, it's all about balance. We have to keep that balance and keep a little bit of everything that's right, you know, find that blend of what's right. So to me, that's where the Common Core standards has something new, is it starts to address those issues that we have to create thinkers. We have to create thinkers that are going to be competitive in our global world.
Mark Stock, what would you point to as evidence you support the standards? What would you point to as evidence that these standards are necessary? And with that, Laramie County School District 1 was one of the first to begin working with them. Why?
Well, one of the first things that our district did was we sat down and looked at the standards that Wyoming had in place, and we looked at some independent studies that did a crosswalk of the Common Core versus what we were using in Laramie 1. And it was universally understood by our staff that the new standards were a lot more rigorous. And based on really that alone, I mean, we weren't aware of political issues, we weren't aware of popularity or those kinds of things. We weren't aware that most of the concerns being brought forth do involve mathematics, Jane. A lot of the examples people are bringing, you know, most of our parents were raised when it comes to division, learning the Gazinta method, right? 4 Gazinta 8. 2 times, you know. So that's what they know, okay? They know the Gazinta method. Their kid comes home with a math problem that's got 12 steps to it. It tries to conceptually get at what's actually happening under the hood when you do division, and the parents are confused. And they show their children their method that they learned, and the kids get the right problem, and they take it to school, and maybe they don't get credit because they didn't go through the conceptual steps. That's what I've seen. But our district, we did adopt it even prior to the state board. Discussions started in our district in 2009 and 10, and we did sit down, and our teachers used it as a framework. So our teachers sat through the summer, and they would lay out the Common Core standards, they would lay out the Wyoming standards, they lay out their materials, their textbooks, all the things they brought to the table, including their experience. And we wrote our own curriculum, which, as Kathy said, is the roadmap, or in my example, the design, the blueprint. And we developed those for all our subject areas, and we did use the Common Core. At no point in time am I aware of our staff having controversy over that. And a lot of the examples that are being brought forward to me for materials that they're saying, vendors went and put stickers on them that say Common Core aligned, because at that time they thought it was a good marketing scheme. They're probably wondering now how smart that was. I'm expecting a new sticker that says anti-Common Core aligned on top of the old sticker, and then we'll be off and selling more books. But the point is that some of those examples were around long before Common Core came in. But anyway, our district did implement it. I think Amy's exactly right. The assessments are part of the problem we're running into here, is that sort of standardization of the assessments.
Sure. Kathy Vetter, do you see a clear need for increased standards? I guess, is unevenness of standards across the states been a problem? And maybe you could speak specifically to what teachers have thought and wanted in that regard.
Well, our population in Wyoming is kind of transient. We have mineral industry. So we have students coming in from across the nation because their parents are moving here, because we've got jobs when there weren't jobs other places. And so they're moving in, and if our standards are not aligned with what they were learning in another state, if we expect more or we expect less, those students come in at a disadvantage, a double disadvantage, because number one, they're changing schools. They don't know anyone. And now they're expected to learn something totally different than what they were learning in their previous school. And so it does put students at a disadvantage. The other reason we need higher standards is we want the best for every student in Wyoming. We want them to graduate and be able to compete with students not just from Wyoming, not just from the United States, but internationally. Because this generation of students that is graduating from our high schools aren't going to stay in one job or one state. They're going to be moving around looking, what's my next job? What am I going to do? So they need to know how to think, not just how to memorize. And these higher standards give them that opportunity.
Certainly. Now I'd like to move on to kind of another conversation, looking specifically at concerns and moving through. Now, as we've already mentioned, there's certainly a lot of opposition to the Common Core state standards. A recent Gallup poll says almost 2/3 of Americans hadn't heard of the Common Core standards until last year. Now 60% say they oppose the standards. Here in Wyoming, a bill to repeal the Common Core was proposed in last winter's legislative session, but it didn't get enough votes. We've seen similar legislation introduced around the country, in 10 other states. All of the candidates who ran for state superintendent of public instruction here in Wyoming at least raised concerns about the standards on the campaign trail. National survey results also make clear that Common Core is a tainted brand name, I would say much like Obamacare. In some cases, these surveys show people oppose the label, but not necessarily the basic concept to which it's attached. But it's clear that there's a lot of pushback against these standards and many arguments against them. So I'd like to work through some of those right now. And maybe first, a good way to start, Let me start by asking you simply, what is your biggest concern about the Common Core state standards in Wyoming? I'll start with Amy.
I'm not going to be able to hit one. I'm going to hit a couple. What I would say, first of all, is that, again, the standards are a part of an entire system that's being brought down that we see, not just the standards. So as Dr. Stock mentioned, assessment as well. This is a whole system, and we've seen this in the standards reform movement. So when Dr. Stock referenced that countries that have a centralized, nationalized standard score better than us, we also have to reference that countries that have decentralized systems score better than us. So standards are not the silver bullet. If we're just looking internationally, there is no actual data to show that centralization of standards or uniformity in standards across a country result in higher performance. As I said, you know, what is the definition of insanity? No Child Left Behind was the first attempt to unify states and say, you're going to set high standards, we're going to test the heck out of you, and students are going to grow. We are 14 years into it, and we have not seen those results. Here we are again with something that, you know, we heard on the floor of the Wyoming House of Representatives, a representative from the western part of the state say, this is a grand experiment. That is exactly what this is. And yet we are being promised all of these wonderful things that this is going to bring scores up. The Brookings Institute just came out with a new study. You have to realize there are states that are far ahead of the state of Wyoming who've had the Common Core for over 5 years, and they are now studying the NAEP test. The results of those states and how are they doing? It's very clear. Their scores have gone up 3 points. 3 points. If you think about the kind of money, the effort, what districts in those states have been doing, all the teacher learning that's gone on to bring down the Common Core, and yet we're not seeing the promised results in the states that are ahead of Wyoming. And Wyoming is rushing forward to implement these standards. The definition of sanity is doing the same thing twice and expecting different results. This whole push that standards is going to be the silver bullet is simply not going to happen. We can all promise to come back here in 12 years, just like, you know, in 2003 and 4, there were debates about No Child Left Behind, with the proponents of No Child Left Behind saying how wonderful we're going to see. It didn't happen. Nobody ever looks in the rearview mirror and holds people accountable for making all of these promises. I can guarantee you we can all come back here in 12 years, Aaron, and we're not going to see the results.
Jane, briefly, your biggest concern?
My biggest, and I'm going to apologize for being a little personal on this one, but as the person who sees these children every day, my concern is that we've made something very political into something that is about our kids and shouldn't be. And we all have the right and same intentions. And I want to talk about the real issues. I want to be a part of the solution. I don't want to keep talking about the problem. And this set of standards is not the problem. We do have other problems, assessment and the other package, but it's not the standards. I want to separate that. Let's accept the standards, and let's talk about what's really going to matter.
Mark Stock, your biggest concern.
Well, I would start out by saying that the standards are not the problem. Education is such a messy business. There are so many factors that involve education, from the family to the home to the issues. All of these things have some kind of an imprint on the whole system. Standards, having a standard isn't the problem. And, you know, an example of a standard, and I had a parent come up to me at one of our forums on Common Core in Laramie County and say, I'm opting out of Common Core. Here's my signature on the form. I'm opting out. My child will not have any Common Core activities in the classroom. And I said, well, what grade's your child in? She said fourth. And I said, well, let me read you a fourth grade language arts standard, and you tell me how to opt out. It says, by the end of the year, read and comprehend literature, including stories, dramas, and poetry in the grades 4 to 5 text complexity band. And I said, that's a standard. Now, admittedly, I picked one that's this easy to understand and non-controversial, right? But how could I teach fourth grade reading and not teach them to read and comprehend a story? I said, I can't opt out of that. I don't understand how I could. These standards are written so generally broadly, in most cases, at least the language arts, and Jane, I'm no mathematician, so I'm not even going to. I was hoping you'd pick a third grade example. But, you know, the issue here is I don't think that, from my point, the concern I have is that we've politicized it. And so let's say, what are we going to do now? We're going to walk. My district has spent 4 years on its own, local control, doing our own thing because we felt like this was better than what we were doing before. Now, if we don't do that, what will we do? Some of the states that have opted out, like Indiana, are now getting criticized. That's where I taught for many years, or was superintendent, and I follow them. And Indiana did one of the first states to opt out. and then they redid their own standards, and now they're being criticized because they claim they've just repackaged the old standards with a new name and a new brand name, as you put it, Aaron. And so I guess if we're going to use this example, I don't think you could write any set of standards that didn't include a reading standard to read and comprehend at the grade level. So that would be my position on it. I think my concern is, where do we go from here? I don't want to back up. Our teachers are, we've done better. The metrics that we collect in Laramie 1 in most areas and almost everything we've done over those 4 years, and I think some of it is attributable to that.
Sure. Kathy, if you don't mind, I'm going to move on to the next question,
fine.
Just because there's a lot of specific concerns. A lot of specific concerns we need to get to. One thing we should probably touch on, because is, at least from my perspective, it seems to be sort of the broadest criticism or fear about the standards, and we sort of touched on it when talking about the federalization concern earlier, but this one-size-fits-all idea. I guess, again, to Mark, what do you make of that concern? Is Common Core too prescriptive, or does it limit teachers' flexibility?
Not at all. The tighter you are about the standard, the more flexibility you have on how to deliver it. In districts where they're mandating materials and scripting lessons, then yes, that isn't a problem with the standard. That's a problem in how administration or staff decided to implement a standard. But the real issue there is that the standard isn't the driving problem there in that case.
Amy, what do you think? Is it possible, can states have uniform sets of standards but still have diversity in education? Why or why not?
I think it's a very premature question to ask in Wyoming.
Sure.
I mean, I think that's the answer you're going to get in Wyoming because we haven't seen assessment attached to the standards yet. So that's the answer you're going to get. If you go look at the states that are assessing, that's not the answer you're going to get. This is ultimately a drive towards uniformity and centralization of education. There's no way around it. Proponents will say that. We want the same set of standards. Everybody wants the same set of standards. What Wyoming has not seen yet, and we're still in the honeymoon phase, is we've not seen the assessment. Wyoming's on the cusp. The legislature has been passing accountability measures. I was in the legislature when they started that work. They're continuing on. We have yet to see them bring the teacher evaluation process, tie it to the test scores. We are in the honeymoon phase. So we have a very honeymoon view of the Common Core right now, and what it ultimately means when we hook it together with the assessment will be a very different answer.
Yeah, there are many concerns that come up related to testing. Two different groups have been developing assessments that will be used to test the standards. Mark, actually, another question for you. What's in store for Wyoming students in terms of testing this academic year? Will this mean more high-stakes testing for Wyoming students?
Well, I don't see any scenario in which testing seems to decrease in, as long as we're on this accountability kick. If we're going to try, you know, what's interesting, a lot of the countries that have made major progress have done it through building capacity and training and teaching and helping, not through heavy-handed accountability. But for whatever reason, America is enamored in the educational environment with accountability now, which the underlying assumption is that teachers and administrators must not be doing a good job, because if they were, we wouldn't have this. That's some kind of an underlying assumption that I personally believe is an inadequate response. I've analyzed the PISA test results from 2010, and interestingly enough, America, if you disaggregate by countries of origin, if you look at our Asian Americans, we're number one in the world on the PISA test. The only thing people that were better than us was Shanghai, which is a city. If you look at our white, there's 37 predominantly white nations in the world, and the PISA test shows that our white Americans were number two, right behind Finland, which is always held up as a great example. If you go right down those ethnicity things, you'll find that in terms of countries of origin, we do real well, but what's the difference? We're a melting pot with open borders. Everyone gets a shot here at the American dream, and we shut no one out. We don't shuttle them off into vocational schools and say you're not capable. These are all things that impact us here in our country that I think make some of these testing issues a little more problematic than just pointing to a test score.
Moving on to the next question, let's talk about some concerns on the actual substance of the standards. For example, in English language arts, there's a move towards reading more informational texts and less literary ones that has some worried. With the math standards, some are concerned that the standards for high school math, don't go far enough to prepare students for jobs, STEM jobs, jobs in science, technology, engineering, and math. Amy, what are your thoughts there on the math standards?
You know, my concerns and concerns of others who've looked over the standards and have looked at folks who've studied them as well. The STEM career one, I think, is probably the most troubling. We've had the actual authors of the standards themselves, Dr. Jason Zimba, who's a professor on the East Coast, who's one of the five authors of the math standards, who's testified numerous times before state legislators on the East Coast, basically say he ultimately admitted that these standards stop at a weak Algebra 2 and that they do not prepare children for a STEM career. I think that is troubling. Wyoming right now, we're not going to see that, and I know I'm not going to hear that from teachers right now, because we are still, as I said, in this honeymoon period. We have the old standards. We have an old way of which we teach standards. But if these standards stay in place for 12, 13, 15 years, we could be looking potentially at districts are going to put their money where they know they have to perform and where assessment tells them they have to perform. And so they put all of their energies into that. So when we continue to couple standards with high stakes testing, and all that they're going to be tested on is a weak Algebra 2, most districts are going to stay right there and aren't going to go beyond that. That, I think, it troubles a lot of folks. I mean, that's something to be concerned about. And it is the coupling of the standard and the testing.
Jane, you teach math at the high school level. What do you think about what's expected of 12th graders under these standards? And explain it to me. I mean, obviously, that the standards are a baseline. Would there be room for differentiation under the standards that 12th graders could take calculus and you know?
Well, I should add a little background that my degree is in electrical engineering from the University of Wyoming, and I'm a second career math teacher. So STEM is something that's very close to my heart. And I tell all my students they can be any type of engineer they want to be. They can pick. But the Common Core standards are exactly what Kathy said. They're the minimum standards that every child needs to meet. Now, I also teach an algebra concepts class, which is the lowest course that we teach. I have three ELL students in my class right now that do not speak English. And I have those two classes back to back, I might add. So, you know, that idea of that we can't get to the top, oh, yeah, we can. Absolutely we can, because I do it every day. The Common Core has what's called plus standards. They were not assessed. They are the standards that go beyond into a pre-calc. So these standards are meant for a junior, because that's where we assess at the 11th grade. So this is the minimum requirements that every junior, that little boy that sits in my algebra class that doesn't speak English, this is what we expect him to do. And you know what? That's what I expect him to do. The next period, I have BC calculus students that are doing Calc 2, second semester college calculus. And this isn't preventing me from teaching them. It's not preventing me from sending lots of children over the hill to Laramie to be engineers.
Aaron?
Go ahead.
I just want to say one thing. Just to add a point that I think is fairly important. And I understand her point, and I respect it very much so. But what I would say is that when we look at these standards, and we look at, again, tying them to assessment, I think we have to be troubled, because this is real education policy that Wyoming has yet to see completely unfold. But it is where we're heading. This is where we're going with assessment and with the standards. So it's a reality that's going to come to bear on this state, and we are in the honeymoon phase. The other point I want to make is the Common Core standards are not the highest set of math standards in this country. So when we talk about reaching high, I want us to reach high too. And when we talk about solutions, I would love for us to spend some time this evening talking about solutions. There are higher math standards than the Common Core.
California, for example.
Why did Wyoming not look at those standards? If we want to talk about excellence, we could have gone higher. We chose not to. Let's go higher. Let's really go higher and have teachers, excellent teachers like the one beside me, teach students with exceptional standards.
Sure. I'd like to move on to the next question. There's also a sense that this big change to public education, it happened with too little public input and with too small a group of people behind it. And it's worth noting that much of the Common Core initiative was bankrolled by Bill Gates through his Gates Foundation. He spent more than $200 million pushing the standards. I guess I'm wondering, is that problematic, the degree to which big business is involved here? Should that impact my view of the standards? Amy, what do you think?
Oh my.
Just say yes.
Yeah, it's a big question. I'm an ardent capitalist, so I have no problem with folks achieving the American dream and making money. But there is no doubt that there is money to be made in the public education business. And I think we should be troubled and we should watch what's happening there. So, yeah. Dr. Stock, yes.
Mark, you have a thought?
Well, I was just going to say, this might be the thing where the right and left political views agree. This is the point where they kind of come around full circle and agree. I think there is some concern. You know, clearly a lot of, if you want to call them lobbyists, I mean, people that were close to the testing industry were helpful in doing all this. And what's their golden egg in all this? You know, they have a lot at stake as to winning the assessment battles and getting the contracts to write to actually sell the tests. So I think this is an example where maybe there's a room for a lot of folks to be concerned about. But I would add this. Is there ever been a point in American history where there's been massive grassroots level involvement in writing standards for education? That's largely been left to educators and nobody cares. And so we're in our little sweatshops writing standards. You know, that's what we do. That's our jobs. But not there hasn't been any point in history where there's been a massive grassroots level effort to actually write standards.
It's also worth noting that as Common Core has lost support in the last year, recent polls show that's been especially true among teachers. Kathy Vetter, support for Common Core among teachers went from 76% last year to 46% this year. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think a lot of it has to do with implementation and accountability, as Amy has spoke about. When you're holding an educator accountable for your 11th grader having met the standards when they've only been in place 3 years, as I said earlier, they haven't been taught all the standards. That's one of the reasons. Another reason is they've moved really quickly in a lot of states, and they didn't have time to develop their lesson plans, their curriculum, and they didn't have time to learn themselves what those standards are and what would be the best way to help their students achieve those standards. So it isn't the standard itself. Once again, the higher standards isn't what the educators are frustrated with. It's being held accountable for students who haven't had the opportunity to learn them and not having the time to develop those great lesson plans to ensure that every student, if they speak English, if they speak a foreign language, no matter what, all of them can learn.
Great. Now let's spend the remainder of our time here talking about implementation of the Common Core here in Wyoming and the successes and challenges associated with that process. As we've mentioned, some districts have already gone pretty deep into the Common Core standards, Laramie County one among them. Mark Stock, what's your impression of what implementation looks like across Wyoming? Does it speak a bit more about that? Does it vary wildly on a district-by-district basis?
It does vary, Aaron. And that a lot of it depends on whether or not districts that had capacity, like Laramie 1 with its size and its ability, capacity-wise, has curriculum coordinators for each subject, and they were able to get enough teachers together and get started earlier. In very small districts where there's a lot of teachers teaching multiple courses and lots of things to, you know, multitask, and they didn't have a person in charge of curriculum, you know, whose sole job was to manage that process. So, yes, it's been uneven across Wyoming, but, you know, we're here and the state board adopted it, and I know our board president says whether you like it or don't like it, state board's approved it, we're moving ahead until somebody tells us differently. But it has been, I would call it an uneven implementation across Wyoming.
Kathy Vetter, would you say are teachers getting enough professional development with Common Core?
That also varies with our school districts. Our large school districts, such as Laramie 1, have the capacity to do the professional development. Our smaller districts, it's really difficult for a small district where you've got a teacher who teaches two subject areas, different prep every single hour, to get enough professional development on two different sets of standards in this short period of time, or teaching at the elementary level, 2 to 3 grades. So it really varies according to the capacity of our school district.
Sure. Jane, you've been in that role at training teachers on the Common Core. Tell us what that professional development looks like. How involved is it?
When we began the training for a Common Core around the state under the Department of Education, we originally developed 4 modules to help, and the module 1 was just an awareness. And so I had the opportunity to go around the state and visit with so many teachers and help them really dig into the standards. And we, you know, just become aware of them. Unfortunately, before we ever got a chance to do module 2, 3, or 4, the program was canceled. So we had a lot of great stuff planned, and I had a lot of wonderful opportunity. I learned a lot, and we shared. It was really that grassroots opportunity. But unfortunately, we didn't get to follow it through.
Jane, what would you say are the biggest challenges associated with implementation? What are you hearing, particularly from educators around the state?
Absolutely. Because the standards are a little more rigorous, and in many situations, standards that we had before, there's not that much new. Math, you know, there's not that much to do. But things are moved around a little bit in different grade levels. So it's exactly what Kathy said is the gaps. But what we've done is everything possible to not have gaps. Because you know what? They're our kids. We don't want them to have gaps. And a little gap here and a little gap here and a little gap here. Next thing you know, it becomes a big gap. So that's been our challenge, is to figure out how to teach what we need to on grade level without missing anything. And we've done it, but it's been hard.
What about issues with materials, textbooks?
Well, we have one of those that says Common Core on the front cover, because we were up for textbook. Yeah. So anyway, yeah, it's hard because you know what? It became, all of a sudden, we had these national standards. There was this, you know, there were not national standards. We had standards that many people were adopting, and it became a business. And why wouldn't you try to sell textbooks? So sorting through what's really quality curriculum and what's the same thing in a different cover is a challenge, but it's not a challenge that we didn't have before or wouldn't have otherwise. It's just part of the education system. It's part of the game we play, is looking for those right materials. So now you have to be very careful, because just because it says Common Core, it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything at all. What does it really say? What is it all about? You have to look at it critically, just like we're asking our kids to look at things critically.
Amy, do you have concerns about whether there's enough choice in terms of curriculum?
I don't think that's necessarily a Common Core question. From my perspective in the Wyoming Liberty Group, when we talk about choice, obviously we're talking about a broader subject than just curriculum within the Common Core. Again, the troubling aspects of the Common Core and whether or not we are trying to make a uniform system in the public education system is that ultimately we're driving out a lack of diversity and a lack of options for parents. So when you talk to me about choice, it's a much broader question than curriculum within the Common Core.
This will be my last question, and I'll ask it to all the panelists. Where do we go from here with the controversy and concerns surrounding the Common Core standards, given where things stand with the rollout? What are the next steps in regards to Common Core in order to best serve Wyoming students? Amy, I'll start with you. Is it back to the drawing board? What's best?
I think ultimately what's best for Wyoming is to remove ourselves from the Common Core, and I don't think that it's reasonable for us to do it overnight. You know, as Dr. Stock has said, and we understand, the WEA understands, districts have spent a lot of time and money on this over the last couple of years. It is politically unpalatable, and I think it has become a real and true issue. But when I say remove ourselves from the Common Core, I think we need to, as she said, we need to have a broader conversation about where we are going with education policy as far as assessment, as far as accountability, and tying all those things together. And instead, the state should be moving towards more diversity in education, giving parents more options, not less, and not tying teachers to assessing, and thinking that somehow we're going to tie teachers and hold them accountable as though they're not doing a good job. We need to free teachers. We need to free the local districts. We need to get out of all of these education schemes. We need to look back at history and realize that the federal government involvement in education has not helped the public education system. From Goals 2000, No Child Left Behind, on to the whole Common Core scheme. This is not working. Wyoming needs to take a lead, get out of it, and create a system that we've created here that gives parents more options.
Jane Wingate, your thoughts? How do we move forward? What's next?
I guess for me, it's separating the issues here and recognizing that the Common Core standards are exactly that. They're a list of standards. And let's discuss the other issues. Let's separate the two. And instead of hanging everything on Common Core, because that's what it's become a scapegoat, let's just blame it on Common Core. No, let's not blame it on Common Core. Let's identify the real problems and let's address them. Let's address our graduation rate. Let's get our kids graduated. Let's get them ready for what's next. And let's not blame it on this genuinely innocent piece of paper that's standards. Because the standards themselves don't do anything. It's what we do after that. So that's where I'm at.
Kathy Vetter, your thoughts?
I agree with Jane. We need to separate. We go forward with our standards. We have set standards, the same method that we've used to set all the rest of the standards. Let's continue forward. But let's look at that testing, that over-testing of our students. That's not standards. That's assessment. So I think we, like Jane said, let's separate those issues. Let's make sure that we address that toxic testing issue where we are over-testing students instead of instructing them. And I think we go forward with our standards and address the real issues.
Mr. Stock?
Well, I think they've said it real well. When it comes down to the, you know, the A word and all, the dirty A word in here is accountability, and I'm not afraid of it, and I don't think we should be. I think education has finally accepted the notion that we must be more accountable. We've got to show the public something that shows how we're doing in a way that's more than just standardized assessments. The danger that Amy's pointing out is real, and that is that the curriculum might look good on paper, but what is being tested is going to be narrowed and narrowed and narrowed and narrowed until we have to work on whatever we're held accountable to. And the thing is the vast majority of what schools do really well in America is never measured. We measure what is cheapest and easiest to measure, and that's there, that becomes language and math. That's easy to do, easier, but we don't, you know, let's talk about the art and the music and the things that make a rich, holistic environment for our kids. We cannot abandon those things. And the fear is that over-testing will narrow that down to where those things are neglected. And then we won't have creative entrepreneurs creating new products, which is what I thought we wanted. So.
Sure. Well, that's all the time we have for tonight for the regular portion of our program. Thank you all for listening and watching and being here. I hope this conversation has been helpful and that it spurs more thoughtful conversations on the topic. I'd like to give a big thank you to our wonderful panelists. Again, Kathy Vetter, Mark Stock, Amy Edmonds, Jane Wingate. Thank you all for being here and lending your insight and expertise tonight. Tonight's program, Getting to the Core of Common Core, was a co-production of Wyoming Public Media and Wyoming PBS. It's part of American Graduate, Let's Make It Happen, a public media initiative to address the dropout crisis supported by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Thank you and good night.